Yeah, I just need to explain before I go into the sermon. This is a sermon that I prepared to do for on Saturday for Remnant Church, a seminar they asked me to do. And so but okay, I think it's appropriate. I didn't think all this was going to happen this week. The title is Freedom from Bitterness. Okay. That's the seminar I was going to do at Remnant Church next Saturday. And but I kind of geared it toward our church, this sermon for today. The Bible says you are God's temple and God's spirit dwells in you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, don't you know that you yourself are God's temple? And that God's spirit dwells in your midst. God's spirit dwells in your midst as a temple of God. You are God's temple. Huh? And the temple in the Bible, had an outer court, the inner court, and the most inner court, called the Holy of Holies. And I believe the outer court kind of represent our physical body, right? We as a temple, the outer court represent our body, physical body. The inner court kind of in, this is me, that's just trying to, what I see is our mind, our emotion, our will, the inner court. And then the most inner court is our human spirit where we connect with God. Okay, where we connect with God. And Ezekiel 47 shows a picture of the temple of God, and from the temple, water started flowing out and from the temple. At first, it was just trickle, and then you go a little further, it was ankle deep, and then you go a little further, you go knee deep, and it was waist deep. And then, as you go a little further from the temple, the river was so wide that no one could cross it. Right? And that represents God's revival, God's power, God's anointing, God's presence flowing out of us, God, the fruit of the Holy Spirit flowing out of the temple. Right? Because the Bible says where the river flowed, there was life. Okay? There was life. And God's life flow through his people. This God's life flows through his people. John 15 says, God is the vine and we are the branch. And the Bible says, if we are not connected to God, we can do nothing as Christians, But from the most inner court, God connects with our human spirit. And John 7, verse 38 says, river of living water will flow from within. Okay, river of living water will flow from within. God's word, doesn't contradict itself. So you see this, theme from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Okay. In that connection, and then the Bible talks about in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, being developed in us, and and other people could eat from that fruit, those fruit. There's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's patience, there's kindness. If you lack patience, God has patience for you. If you lack kindness, God has kindness for you. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But here, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, right? Open your Bible app and turn. I don't think anybody uses a real Bible anymore, except Trixie, I see. It says Hebrews 12, verse 15 says this, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. Okay, falls short of the grace of God, because that flow, that life that God gives us to flow out of us is by grace. It's by grace. Okay. But what could prevent that from happening and that no bitter root grows up? Okay, it talks about, it doesn't just say bitterness, but bitter root is something that goes deep into our inner court. okay, is a root, okay, that goes even to our heart, to the most inner, okay? That no bitter root grows up to cause. And what does it do? What it causes trouble and defile many. What bitterness does, bitterness stops the life flow of God through us. Okay, it defiles many. Okay, so instead of blessing many, bringing life to many, it defiles many. Okay, and that's what bitterness does. You know, it stops the flow of God's fruit, his presence, the transformation, the power of God to flow out of us, the bitterness. You know, instead, the opposite happened. It causes bad fruit to be bare in our life. It causes trouble and defile many. You know, I've been in ministry for almost, you know, 30 years now. And this is what I observe. Everyone gets rejected. Everyone, you know, there are people that got abandoned, that was neglected, that was abused, you know. And those who learn to choose not to be bitter, you know, those who choose to forgive instead of being bitter, you know what I saw? Time and time again. You know, there's healing, there's restoration, there's reconciliation, there's new life, there's fruit in their life. But those who choose to be bitter, okay, that bitterness causes more trouble and defile many. You see this in the Bible with Joseph. He was abused. He was rejected. He was sold into slavery by his brother. But Joseph chose not to be bitter because the presence of God, even in the midst of the rejection and abuse, okay, the presence of God, the Bible says, everybody saw that God was with Joseph. And God used him to save millions from the famine. He saved his family. And Joseph was used to continue the redemptive work of God. Why? Why do I say that? Because Judah, one of his brother, right, Joseph's brother, who was in the line of the Messiah. And because of Joseph chose not to be bitter, but instead released the presence of God, he saved his brother and his family. He saved Judah and his family and future family from starvation so that the redemptive work of God would continue. You know, bitterness, the bitter root, what is it? It's an offense that we hold on to in our heart. It's an offense that we hold on to in our heart. And the offense we hold on to could be, you know, because of hurt, because of rejection, because of betrayal, because of abandonment, because of neglect, because of abuse. And someone offends you, you know, and what do? We start to judge that person who offend us, and the bitter root judgment is planted in our heart. And it causes trouble and defile many. It's not God. Right? It's not just the other person who hurt us, who offended us, but it's the bitterness that's in our heart that causes trouble and defile many. You know, just some of the bad fruits of bitterness, you know, that if you have bitterness in your heart, you won't be able to overcome the spiritual battle that you're going through. You know, because what bitterness does is open the door to demonic attack. It opens the door to demonic bondage and stronghold in your life. It opens the door. That's what bitterness does. It's an invitation for different demonic spirits to come and attack you. And because of that, if there's bitterness in your heart, you will not be able to overcome spiritual battle. Bitterness causes, also what it does is it continues the pattern of destruction. You know, dysfunction. Right? There's no transformation in your life. There's no change. Did you ever see somebody very bitter, ever changing, right? Ever transforming? They don't change when you're bitter. You fall into the same dysfunctional pattern over and over again. You fall into the same conflict over and over again in relationship. You see the generational iniquity, the sin, the dysfunction in the family continue when there's bitterness. And if you're bitter, what happens is also God's blessing is hidden. God's blessing is hidden. You won't be able to see the blessing of God, what God is doing in your life. You won't be able to hear God's voice. You can't receive his blessing. Bitterness is like, you know, God wants to pour blessing upon you, okay? But bitterness is like this umbrella that blocks the blessing of God, and it just falls not on us. We can't receive it. We can't receive it. Right? Because the Pharisee was bitter toward Jesus, they could not see that he was the Son of God, but instead the opposite. They said Jesus was the son of Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies, a demonic son. Yeah. Bitterness, it will hurt your relationship with other people, not just the one that offended you. It destroys healthy relationships. Bitterness destroys healthy relationship. You can't contain it with just the person that offended you. It will go to people that you love, people that's close to you. The bitterness and judgment spread to people who are innocent. Bitterness and judgment spread to people who might even be trying to help you. Do you see that? I see this time and time again. When there's bitterness in their heart, you try to help them, they get angry at you. They get angry at you. Bitterness also affects you physically, the outer temple, you know, the anger, the stress. It causes anger, it causes stress, it causes anxiety, high blood pressure. You won't be able to sleep. You know, tell me, when you are very bitter, are you able to sleep? Are you able to have a peaceful night rest? There's no peace. It breaks down your body. It affects you so physically. You know, when I look at a very bitter person, you could see it in their face. You could see it. You know, it breaks down your body. And, you know, what we teach here, emotion, you know, and even the emotional wound that we have, you know, we all have hurt. We will go through, we have and will go through rejection. People been betrayed. A lot of people here been betrayed, been neglected. There's abandonment in our life. You know, there's even abuse. You know, and so we need to know how to be free from bitterness. You can't choose how you're going to get hurt, but you can choose how long you're going to hold on to the hurt, and you can choose not to be bitter. Okay? So speak that out. I'm not going to be bitter. You know, that emotional wound, the hurt feeling is not sin. You know, emotional pain is not sin. Why? Because Jesus was not a robot. Okay? When he was on earth, he was not a robot. He's not Spock. You know, I have no emotion. Okay? But what we see in the Bible, when he incarnated, okay, and Jesus felt hurt. Jesus was rejected, and it hurt him emotionally. He was betrayed. That's why, you know, you also see him cry. Okay? He was misunderstood. He was abused. But ultimately on the cross, okay, where he was facing all the world's shame and condemnation and rejection and abuse, he said, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Even though he was emotionally wounded and physically wounded, Jesus was free from bitterness. He never sinned. That's where sin comes in. Not the emotional wound, the pain, but he never got bitter. So that's why he never sinned. physical wounding, you know, I showed this a while back, but it's a great illustration. You know, physical wounding, we know what to do. You know, say there's a splinter that's on your arm, okay? We all know when there's a splinter, you know, if your child has a splinter, a deep, you know, splint, it went deep into your arm, all parents know, take them to the doctor, okay, or something. Take the splinter out. Put some, you know, anesthetic, you know, whatever, rubbing alcohol on, get the antibiotic, you know, we know what to do. Put a Band-Aid on. We know what to do. Okay, when there's a physical wounding, right? But when there's emotional wounding, many people don't know what to do, right? Say there's an offense in your heart, there's a splinter in your heart. What do? We make it go deeper. We push it in deeper. We keep it in there. We let it get infected. We make the pain worse. You start then, and then, you know, because of that pain, you think the solution is, I need to hurt other people. You get a splinter and you start stabbing other people around you. Hurt people, hurt people. Yeah. And emotional, but this is how we need to take the emotional wounding that we have, you know, from the abuse, to, from the rejection, you know, from the neglect, from the abandonment. There's that emotional wounding. And God's plan, the way he created us, it was supposed to communicate that something is wrong in our heart. Something's hurt. Something's not right in our heart. Take it as, you know, in your car, every one of your car, you know, has warning lights. You know, yeah. If something's wrong with the engine light, something's wrong with the brakes, brake light, you know, not enough oil, you know, you need to change your oil light, tire pressure light. Why? Those warning is there so that you know, okay, if you don't take care of this, you could get into an accident or there could be a great damage. It's a signal that says you need to take care of this. And the emotional hurt signals to you and me, okay, not to be bitter. The devil wants you to be bitter, but signals to us, that to you and me, that we need to seek healing. Okay, not go on the path of bitterness, but to seek healing. And you know, the first thing that we do when we get offended is that we start to judge the person that offended us, you know. But this is what the Bible says. This is the spiritual law, Matthew chapter 7, verse 2. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So what is this passage saying? There's this spiritual law. If you judge correctly, okay, if you judge correctly, you will be blessed. Okay, if this is a good judgment, good things will happen to you. But if you judge incorrectly, there will be a curse on your life. There will be a curse on your life. See, if you don't release those who hurt you into forgiveness, you will resemble what you resent. If you have resentment towards your mom, you're going to become like your mom. If you have resentment toward a leader, you're going to become like that leader. Do you see, like, in, you know, just organization where there's a bad leader, what does it do? It creates many other bad leaders. Some of you are holding on to, you know, you got hurt. There was rejection. There's guilt and shame and abandonment, abuse. You know, it might have happened a long time ago. It might have happened months ago. It might have happened yesterday or even today. And sorry, when you hold on to it, okay, bitterness don't hurt other people. It will hurt you. There is a biblical judgment that blesses and not curses. You know, Bible says we will judge the angel in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. You know, this kind of judgment is so that we could help one another. Right? This is a good judgment. Biblical judgment is when we judge out of love, out of desire for holiness, out of desire to help this person, you know, help. You know, maybe they're going on a path that's going to be destructive. So we judge them to help them, to correct them, to rebuke them, to have them turn from falling off a cliff. Okay, that's a good judgment. Right? It is to restore. There's a judgment that we need to do to restore others. Right? And that's a biblical judgment. But there's a sinful judgment. And it's Matthew 7, is those who have a log in their eyes. Okay? And in that case, Jesus says, don't judge. Okay? If you have a log in your eye, don't judge. Somebody with a log in their eyes, as you know, if anything touches your eye, it is very painful. Okay? Somebody who is hurt. You know, somebody who's hurt. Someone, I believe, who is bitter. And Jesus says, okay, if you're bitter, okay, if you're bitter, don't judge. Don't judge, because that kind of judgment is very hypocritical. You might say, we need to love each other, but you're being a hypocrite. It's very hypocritical, but Jesus says in Matthew 7. Jesus says, don't judge, but instead, get the log out. And then you can judge correctly. Jesus says that. Go to Matthew 7. He doesn't mean never judge. He's just saying to the person with the log in the eye, don't judge. Once you take the log out of your eyes, the bitterness out of your heart, then you could judge correctly. And so if there's bitterness in your heart, you know, don't think about, don't put your energy on other people, that person that offended you. Put your energy on yourself to get healed, to be free from bitterness. Spend that effort being free and being healed from bitterness. See, when we judge out of bitterness, we will do more damage. We will hurt others. And we will eventually, without knowing, do the work of the devil. You know, when I see a church split, it is not out of righteousness and love. They all think, you know, church split is, they always say it's because it's a righteousness, you know. But I've seen time and time again, when there's a church split, it's out of bitterness. It's out of bitterness. And it does great damage. You know, I'm still ministering to adults, you know, from people who in their childhood, they experienced a church split. So it's out of bitterness. So I want to talk about symptoms of bitterness. You know, there's an offense. Somebody offended you. How do you know you're bitter? You play that story in your mind over and over and over again. Right? If there's uncontrollable anger, you get easily frustrated. You get mad at people around you. Right? There might be bitterness in your heart. You know, and you get very sensitive too. You feel like people are talking about you and nobody's talking about you. Because you keep playing the story over in your mind. You feel judged. Bitterness, how do you know you have bitterness? That bitterness gets stronger and stronger even though you don't talk or meet with the person that offended you. Right? Think about it. Some of you are holding bitterness from somebody who hurt you 10 years ago or 5 years ago or four, you know, 2 years ago. You haven't talked to them. You haven't met with them. But that bitterness grew. That offense grew. The story grew. It means there's bitterness in your heart. You know, you can't bless the person that offended you. Okay, that's another sign that there's bitterness. You're not very empathetic. You become, you know, less, you start to empathize less with others. You start to lose passion. You start to lose trust in others. You know, if you are saying there is no love in the church, okay, it's not because there's no love in the church. You're hurt. You're offended. You got rejected. And there's bitterness in your heart. You know, if you, this happened every time I talk to somebody like this. You know, they say, I don't have to go to church. You know, I worship all alone, just between me and God. Just me and God. They got hurt a lot. There's a lot of offense in their heart. They might acknowledge that, but you know what they will not acknowledge? That they are bitter. There's bitterness in their heart. You know, if people are telling you, you know, I see that, you know, I'm worried about you. You know, you have, I feel like there's a wall. You know, it's difficult to get to know you. It's not just a personality thing all the time. There might be a bitterness going in your heart, and that bitterness is causing a wall to get higher and stronger. If there's bitterness in your heart, you don't enjoy worship anymore. You can't pray. You stop giving. You start to feel far from God. You can't hear the voice of God. It causes trouble and defile many. In marriage, you know, if there's bitterness in your heart, you know, what happens is we carry a lot of childhood brokenness into the marriage. And we stuff it in, But when we get married, God's saying you cannot hide it anymore. But it all, it leaks out in marriage. You get married, and what happens? You project that abuse, childhood abuse, that anger, that pain, that rejection to your spouse. With your children, with your child, we project by taking out on them through anger for little things that they do wrong. You know, I remember, one time I spilled little water during dinner. And my dad, the anger that came out because of that, I still remember. Was it because I spilled water? No, I really believe it was because my dad grew up with his father that abandoned him. You know, that's where it was coming from. With past leaders, you know, you got hurt with other leaders. But if you don't work on that past authority issue, you're going to project it to me. Just kidding. Sorry. No, it's, you'll see all leaders, you know, that you get close to, they're uncaring. They don't listen. They're controlling. Right? And so if you're going to help me to be a better leader, because, you know, I still need a lot of things to change and work on. But if you are carrying something from the past, okay, you're going to project things that I don't need to work on. But there are many things I do need to work on. And how can you help me with that? Be healed from past, you know, hurt that you receive from authorities in your life. I want to talk about steps to be free from bitterness. Okay, I don't want to just end the sermon there, you know, because God, the Bible has the answer too. Steps and steps to be free from bitterness is steps to forgiveness. Steps to forgiveness. Number one, stop judging the person who offended you. Okay. Stop judging the person that offended you. Matthew 7 again said, do not judge or you too will be judged. It was talking to the, Jesus was, you know, saying about the person with the log in the eye. Instead of judging the person who offended you, focus your energy on being set free from bitterness. Focus on healing. Right? Focus on yourself. During, you know, when I say focus on yourself, there are times that's good. But if you're seeking healing, that is good. Okay? That's good. Seek counseling. Talk to a friend that won't fan the flame of, you know, a bitterness, but that will help you to overcome bitterness. Find that friend. Number two, release the person who offended you to God. Romans 12, verse 19, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. You know, what you're saying is, you know, hey, God, you know, I don't want to judge that person who hurt me. You know better. You are more wiser than me. You are not more powerful. You are all-knowing. So you're saying, even though, you know, this, to this person who hurt you, even though you hurt me and owe me a debt, I am writing it off. You owe me nothing. It is not my place to make you pay, and I release you to the judgment of God. He is the just judge, and he will rightly decide the case. Okay? And if there's any penalty, he will collect it. He will vindicate me. Right? You release the person who offended you to God. And finally, number three, continue to forgive the offender, no matter how long it takes. Okay? Continue to, because forgiveness is not a one-time thing. It's a process. Continue to forgive the offender. Matthew 18, verse 21 to 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sinned against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. He uses the number seven because number seven represent, you know, there are a few numbers that you could correctly, you know, know what it means. Okay. Number seven is one of them because number seven is God's number. And number seven represents completion. And what Jesus is saying to us, you forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive until you completely forgive. Right? And that's what God did. You know, throughout the history of mankind, he worked on the redemptive plan. No matter where his people were, you know, how evil or what idol that they had, or how rebellious. And he worked and worked on the redemptive plan until it was complete. He sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us, pay the penalty for our sin until it was complete. And that's what God did for us. He's asking us to do. That's biblical forgiveness. If you can't forgive those who offended you, you don't know God's forgiveness. And then God can't forgive you because you don't understand his forgiveness. You know, so, you know, so continue. You know, keep forgiving until the pain stops. Keep forgiving until you can bless the person. Keep forgiving until you love like Christ. And God's people said, Amen.